Yesterday's decision to provide up to 900 waivers to refugees who'd been banned for 120 days under President Trump's orders does not help the refugees in the second 90-day ban against those coming from seven Muslim-majority countries. That includes Somali refugees who'd fled the terrorist group al-Shabaab into a Kenyan refugee camp. Many had given up their tents and supplies and were about to board planes when the news came that after years of vetting, they were barred. Let's get some context. Abdi Samatar is a professor and chair at the University of Minnesota's Department of Geography, Environment, and Society. He joins us by Skype. Professor, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you, Robin.
What is happening in Somalia?
Well, the first thing is that Somalia is an orphan of the Cold War. The United States and the Soviet Union played havoc with the lives of that country, which ultimately led its own collapse. That drove thousands, hundreds of thousands of Somalis into the neighboring states, one of which was Kenya, where you had their largest refugee camp in a place called Dadaab. So really, if you look back at it, the United States, much like in Iraq and in Afghanistan, is politically and morally implicated in the disaster that's that country. And therefore, in my assessment, we owe them at least some modicum of support so that they can put their country back together, which we have not been doing very well.
Well, and there are many aid groups in the U.S. who completely agree with you, and we have been bringing Somali refugees in, towns in Vermont, Minnesota, where you are. How many Somali refugees have come?
Over the years, I think probably 100,000 Somalis are in the United States, maybe a shade bigger than that in Canada, and about the same size, maybe a little bit more in the United Kingdom. So they are all over the place.
Well, and what are the chances? Look, the Guardian is quoting a mother of five in the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya who said, "I did all the interviews and all the screenings needed for refugees, including security, health checks. I was told that I and my children will be going to Arizona, but now I have no hope because of Donald Trump's order." What are the chances that someone would be coming from 8 years in a Kenyan refugee camp and would be affiliated with a terrorist organization as opposed to being a mother of five who escaped terror in Somalia?
I think all the evidence and the data we have point out that those who are affiliated with al-Shabaab, if you like, or other terrorist groups, are not refugees. I think something to the order of 95% of those who have committed terrorist acts, either in Europe or here, are not refugees. And so what we are doing is we are using a jackhammer to get something small on the surface of the planet. I think we have destroyed those countries. I mean, Iraq, there were no terrorists. There was no Al-Qaeda, but there was a dictator. So our wisdom told us that we have to get rid of the dictator, disband the army in that country, which was the fortress against Al-Qaeda. So the very people who are fleeing from terrorists are being told that you could not find refuge here because where you live, there are terrorists. And so it just doesn't make any sense. I think the president and his team could have been much more careful in vetting, saying, people, if you were vetted before and you have gone through 2 years, give us another 2 months to work through this. What this does, in my opinion, is to reinforce the ideas that al-Shabaab and others have been propagating, that the United States is at war with Muslims.
Well, but Professor, others have, you know, made not only that argument, but others. They've said, why not ban people coming from countries where people have caused terror in the U.S., for instance, the Pakistani wife of the San Bernardino shooter? Why not ban people from Pakistan? But what do you say to people, Professor, who say these Somalis may have fled terror, but many of their children were converted to terrorist organizations while in the U.S.? We know that young Somalis left Minnesota to try to join terrorist organizations. People are afraid of that.
Of course, I mean, that's a legitimate concern, but I think we need to put all the facts on the table. I teach here at the University of Minnesota. We have about 700 to 800 Somali students at different levels of the graduate, undergraduate programs. All of them are very good students, getting on with their work. At some point, some of these graduates were the largest number of sort of engineers for working IBM here in Minnesota. And so I think We have to go after the individual who are criminals. The vast majority of Somalis, over 99% who have come here as refugees, are doing well, are superb citizens, support neighbors, stay out of crime. And so to be penalized is exactly what this country has gotten away from. Blanket sort of a description of communities on the basis of individual criminals.
Yeah,
that, in my mind, is against the values of the country and against the Constitution of the United States.
In some areas where there are refugees, local officials say they actually have a lower crime rate than other populations. Look, Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group that drove these refugees from Somalia into Kenya, attacked a hotel in Mogadishu, killed at least 28 people last week, attacked a Kenyan military base in Somalia, killing 60 soldiers. But we understand Kenya is thinking of closing these refugee camps. What will happen to these Somali refugees?
Well, I mean, many of them will have no choice but either to move further afield into the heart of Africa or to go back to their country. I think one of the ways in which we can support those refugees to go back to their country is to provide the kind of resources so that the regime in Mogadishu, which is incredibly corrupt and which we have supported, gets its house in order, and that the international community begins to put resources in developing Somali security forces that will replace the Kenyans and the Burundians and what have you, so that there is a 10 to 15,000 Somali security forces professional enough. We can train that in a year or two, and they will drive Al-Shabaab into the sea. For me, that's the most certain way to support the refugees to go back their home and rebuild their country.
Abdi Samatar, professor at the University of Minnesota's Department of Geography, Environment, and Society. Professor, thank you.
With pleasure.